Forever Dog.
I used to think that this was my town. What a stupid thing to think. I hear you biting off a brain now. I myself am on the brain. I used to want to be a real man. I don't know what that even means. Now I just want you in my arms again. And we can search each other's dreams.
What's up, 3Bs? What's up, Diamond Dogs? What's up, Athletic Gerbils? It is Three Swings. We were supposed to be on a break. Isn't that a thing from Friends? And then baseball did a bunch of stuff. And so I was like, Brett, we got to do an episode. And I was going to do a little check-in with you guys. And then baseball did a bunch of stuff in just 1 week that was very relevant to this show. So I felt like hopping on and talking to you. And then I got a guest. So it's like, this is just like a full-blown episode. So I don't want to spend too much time up top because our guest on this episode of this here podcast, which is Three Swings, that I am the host of. Also, my name is Rhea Butcher, host of this show. It's a podcast about baseball and other things, but mostly this one's going to be about baseball for once. Clinton Yates, columnist over on The Undefeated, also on Around the Horn quite a bit. He recorded this episode through a literal ESPN microphone. So like, man, this little show that could, you know what I mean? He wrote a really great piece in response to the MLB, quote, elevating stats from the Negro Leagues. And we get into that, so I won't get into it too much up top. You guys have heard me talk about my visits to the Negro League museums, players, all kinds of stuff. So I'm really grateful to have Clinton on. Because his depth of knowledge of the game was just really a pleasure to behold. So I cannot wait for you guys to hear that. So I won't use too much of my own time up top. I hope everyone's doing okay. It is continues to be a difficult time. The pandemic is now like raging even more out of control than it was at the beginning, which is astounding, to be totally honest. And I was completely prepared for that. Given that we've just had almost no direction consistently as people and been pretty much in the wilderness, I am not surprised that this is happening. It does still, however, break the heart. Apparently, Los Angeles is now the epicenter of this current wave continuum. We have zero beds in the ICU. So if you live in Los Angeles and you're listening to this and you do not have to go do anything, don't do it. I also just want to send a lot of love and care and kindness to the people who do need to work, have to work, are forced to work. I have family members who have been doing the same in Ohio. So I love you and care about you. Also, if you're in a position that's not happening, please don't do things you don't need to do. And thank you to everybody who did not travel over the holiday in November. And thank you to everybody who's not going to travel for these holidays that are currently coming up. I appreciate you. Thanks also to everybody that puts a mask on as soon as they leave their home. I saw somebody recently mention on Twitter, like, you don't just need a mask to go in places. You need it when you leave your house. So just keep that in mind. Like, I literally just have, even if I am by myself on the sidewalk walking my dog, I keep my mask on because at this point we just need to do it, you know? And the act of putting it on and taking it off all the time is like ridiculous. And then I run into people and, you know, and then I see people on the street with no mask and I'm like, well, I was just doing that 5 seconds ago, so I keep it on my face all the time. So please do that. And also just like everybody, keep doing what you're doing. This is unprecedented, and we're really out there. We're just really out there. So a couple things we've got just to mention, because Clinton and I actually get into this, so I won't get into it too much. MLB did proceed with the minor league reduction. They have reduced their player development licenses to only 120 farm teams while breaking ties with over 40 others. It's incredibly sad, and it's not something, it's just more of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, which had governed the minors since 1901, is closing down, and the minors will be run from the MLB's office in New York under the supervision of Peter Woodfork, MLB's new senior vice president of minor league operations and development. Moving forward, almost every nook of professional baseball in America, from independent leagues on up, will fall under the auspices of the $11 billion league at the top of the sport. It's something that we talked about a lot on here. I hoped it wouldn't happen, but kind of knew it would, and it's just incredibly sad. There will probably be more to come on this show about it. And as I said, Clinton and I sort of get into it. So I will also just mention that there are some Francisco Lindor trade rumors, and this comes from Bleacher Report. Among all the trade rumors circulating this offseason, the one that has picked up the most momentum recently involves Cleveland All-Stars shortstop Francisco Lindor, who broke off contract extension talks back in March, suggesting that the sides were too far apart. But after Cleveland lost their AL wildcard series with the Yankees this year, Lindor told reporters that Cleveland could afford to re-sign him if they were motivated to, noting that they were a billion-dollar team. Lindor is one of baseball's best players at a premium position. He is a legitimate five-tool guy who can hit for power, steal bases, and play an elite defense. Since 2015, Lindor ranks third in WAR among all MLB players. Third! The next closest shortstop, Xander Bogaerts, has been worth nearly three fewer wins in that span. Nevertheless, last month, Cleveland told teams it was looking to move Lindor before opening day on April 1st, and a deal might get done far sooner than that. So that story brings me to the one that I was going to record this podcast the most for, which is the fact that the Cleveland baseball team leaked a story Sunday night that they were going to change the name, the mascot name of their team, which I was excited about, which I got a billion texts about, which I was grateful to the Native and Indigenous groups, activist groups who have been working tirelessly for decades, if not a century, to make this change or at least have some sort of acknowledgement and understanding beginning. And then the next day, they made another announcement that they were not going to change the name until 2022. And also they're going to give money from the profits from their Chief Wahoo trademark and ostensibly the I-word trademark that they're going to continue to hold to some Native groups. I wouldn't say that I'm baffled by it, because it's not surprising, because I have literally talked about this for 6 years of my life, which is not very long. And I guess the more surprising thing is to leak the information to try to sort of suss out what's going to happen and then go, yeah, well, we're not going to do the Cleveland baseball thing like Washington for a year. We're just not going to do anything for a year. And we're just going to promise you that we're going to do something in 2022. More will be revealed about that. I'm just very done with them, because not only are they not really just doing something about it, they are also doing these kinds of things with, like not just a top tier player, but a once in a generation player in Francisco Lindor, who not only is a tremendously talented and just like someone you want on your team as a player, someone you want on your team as a fan. He literally wants to play for Cleveland. How many players can you say that about in Major League Baseball? Not that many. Cleveland is on many players, do not trade lists for many reasons. They're kind of all irrelevant. When you have somebody like Francisco Lindor basically saying, I want to win you a World Series, Cleveland, and they go, yeah, no, we don't really care. I don't care. I'm over it. Whatever they choose to make their name, I hope they do it. But like, this is, it's just like, for me, I speak only for myself when I say this. It's baseline abusive behavior of like, yeah, we're going to do it. Now we're not. No, we're changing our minds. Not really. Kind of doing it. Da-da-da-da. It's like, I don't care anymore. I'm done. Whenever they decide what their new name is going to be, we'll discuss it then. Other than that, I'm done talking about this because it's just a game and I'm just not going to play it anymore. So those are my thoughts about the Cleveland baseball team. Yeah, after this little break, an ad break that I hope you listen to and hope you consider purchasing because it does help this show and Forever Dog in general. Also, I'll probably pop on and do like a beginning of the year episode, but I do want to thank you all for listening this year. It's been an interesting one to say the least. So thanks for being back listening for the holidays. And I hope that everyone has a really good one. And I hope that, you know, we can all, I don't know. I hope we can all, that's it. So yes, we'll be back after this ad and we will talk to Clinton Yates, from many places, the undefeated around the horn, ESPN, pretty much everything you've ever heard of, right after this. Thank you so much for listening to that, and thank you for considering purchasing whatever it is I just told you to buy. Appreciate it very much. Thank you for listening to the show. And as I said, very excited to welcome onto Three Swings a guest, if you can believe it. You may have read him on The Undefeated. You may have seen him on Around the Horn on ESPN. So happy to have Clinton Yates.
I'm super excited about our guest. I'm so glad and so grateful to have this person on. So excited to welcome Clinton Yates to the podcast. What's up, Clinton? How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. I mean, let's just like get right into it. I have appreciated your work from afar via the internet for quite some time. And so this is like, it's like one of those dreams of like, oh, getting somebody on the podcast. And I'm always like, I don't know if they're going to, and it's like, oh, you just ask. And then people are like, yes. Or like, no, I'm good. And it's like, then you just move on with your life.
It's very simple. You know, if you don't ask, you won't know. So
you will not know. You miss 100% of the shots you do not take.
I like to go with the more baseball present analogy, which is you got to swing the bat to hit the ball. Pretty simple.
Yeah, you really do. And on this show, you get three opportunities to do so. So that's a big part of it. But I wanted to, I read your piece on The Undefeated, which is titled, MLB Elevating the Status of Negro Leagues is the Problem, Not the Solution. And then I retweeted it because I was like, I could tweet all my thoughts about this, or you could just read Clinton's article because I agree with every word of it. So I'm so grateful to have you on to discuss this sort of, also this podcast is like on a break, but like so many things that we talk about on this podcast have happened this week in baseball.
News fairy made an appearance. Like, yes.
Yeah. I was like, I have to at least say, because I don't want to tweet about it.
Right. No, you know? I get that. And to, if I may, when I, so I can please jump into this. This started with, so, okay, look, I live in Los Angeles and, you know, but I still lived on the East Coast. I'm going to be 40 next year, obviously my whole life.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, exactly. Thank you. And so when I woke up that day, I mean, I normally wake up pretty early just because there's so much happening where you got to at least ingest some level of the news from the East Coast before you get anything even moving. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's normally where it goes. So I woke up that particular day at 10 a.m. Pacific, which is late in the day.
Yeah, that's late.
On the East Coast.
That's 1 p.m. That's lunchtime, right, baby.
You know, and I wake up and I got all kinds of texts that are all kinds of like interestingly positive about like, oh man, Major League this, Major League that. They're so good. I was like, oh, okay, what'd they do? And I go to my Twitter and it's like more tweets and they're like, yo, this is tight. Basketball. I'm like, what happened? You know?
Yeah.
So I go to the press release and I immediately read MLB elevates Negro League status. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like what? And I thought I was looking honestly at something that was a joke. And I mean that earnestly as like a professional, where I was like, elevates status. Like that can't be what is actually being said here. And just on a basic top-down level. And so, you know, obviously I keep reading and I was like, oh my goodness. And, you know, you come across Bob, who's obviously awesome and classy and grateful for it, but yeah. I was like, this is not the move, you know? And my just gut reaction was, you know, and I tweeted this, I said, why on earth would I call the Negro Leagues the major leagues? Like, I just on a basic identification agency level, I didn't understand that, mm-hmm. never mind the verbiage. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I started thinking about it more and I realized, yeah, that word elevate really hurts because the natural implication there is that something was less than. Mm-hmm. And like, yo, nah, just I didn't even know how to explain that at first, you know? So I got a couple tweets off and, you know, listen, not to get too far into this, but sometimes that's part of the process when you do a job like this. You get a couple tweets off and you're like, you know what? Actually, I probably need to put actual so-called pens to paper, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I was. And I just, it took me a really, really long time to process how that statement comes out the way that it does. Not what they're doing, which we can have a discussion about in a separate part of this show, but like, yo, it was so inappropriate that I couldn't even, it was messing me up for a while. And so when I finally wrote about it, you know, I started talking to some of my people around the game, you know, not just in terms of actual, you know, baseball front office people in at various teams and so on, but like players and just fans who were like, yeah, this is actually really, really weird. And I was like, yeah, I mean, what do I care if the records match up? Negro League players and big league players. Like, I'm not one of those baseball fans that spends a lot of my time arguing about stats. Sorry.
Right.
You know, like some people think that's all the baseball fans care about. No, it's not. And I'm as big a baseball fan as any other human on this earth by a lot. So miss me with that. And it was very odd to me on a lot of levels. And I'm happy for Bob. You know, if you've ever met Bob Kendrick, you know he's the man. But just overall, I mean, it was a legit gut reaction where I was like, yo, nah. And I didn't have to do some whole bunch of research to just recall all the things as to why this did not make sense and what it was sort of ignoring on just kind of an obvious level. So that's where that column came from. Mm-hmm. It was literally just a reaction upon seeing something when I woke up and just thinking about it and being like, I don't feel good about this. It was legitimately upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, I could not, I can't agree with you more. Like the language of the thing to me repeats the common problem or the problem to begin with, which is that, and you also call this out in your article, that which is something that I've talked about on the show a lot and continue to, that like the sort of one baseballing of baseball, which has always been present because it's, you know, it's a capitalist society, so like you have to have the one thing that makes all the money, but it's as though, you know, Major League Baseball wants to be the copyright of baseball, you know, and to use the word elevate is so offensive to me, especially given that so many aspects of modern baseball come from the Negro Leagues, which we literally just talked about this summer, you know, through the season.
I'm like, oh my God, did you guys know? On this 100th anniversary stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what's the elevation? What are we talking about? You know?
Yeah. Right. It's bonkers to me. Like, it's just, I mean, but it also makes complete sense. I mean, somebody, you know, people were texting me, not as much as they were texting me about the Cleveland baseball team name, but people texted me and they were like, you know, oh, long overdue. But this is great. And I'm like, is it? Because like, everybody's just going, oh, cool. Long overdue. Great job, everybody. And it's like, no, the point is not great job, everybody. You know, the point is look at the league, look at the Negro Leagues and look at what they did. And then also look at Major League Baseball and look at what it did to get us to this point that this conversation would even need to happen.
Right. Beyond that, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no. The only thing I was going to say is I think the inclusion of statistics from other leagues is important, especially when you have players who then played in the major leagues, like somebody also like Ichiro, for example, like,
true.
To sort of equalize the statistics across leagues, to me that equalizes the leagues. And then the major leagues is not the only thing that your stats matter from. that's not totally the conversation that we're having. And also them using the language of like, oh, we're elevating and we're trying to reduce. It's like, you're not reducing anything. Like, you guys, right, except for black players in the league. That's what you're reducing. You know,
there's simple ways to do things that involve words that smarter people use, whether it's recognize, whether it's acknowledge, never mind apologize. And God forbid you use the word atone. You know what I'm saying? Right. Which is what is actually at hand here. And so, you know, there was a legitimate, I would just say, intellectual academic conversation to be had about the verbiage, well beyond what the verbiage meant, which is the problem. So I don't know. I was just kind of like, this isn't smart enough for me. And and if you want to get into the solutions, a lot of people were like, oh, well, what do you suggest they do? And beyond what I just said, you know, the other thing is like, how about you throw some cash at some people? That's not anything untoward in this country. Last time I checked, remuneration is a reasonable form of atonement, you know, especially when you're talking about a system in which the purpose of excluding people to begin with is so that you can make more money. You know what I mean? And the only reason that you ended up bowing effectively to integration is because of the cash that you saw you were losing out on from the other leagues that were as competitive, if not more entertaining. And like, yo, the money matters because the money was the reason. And to just sort of ignore that as if the concept of recognition alone, the gaze concept, was the only real priority, that's where, as a black person, never mind a baseball fan, it starts to hurt. Because you're like, yo, I don't really actually care what this league on this continent thinks. You know, baseball to me is not just Major League Baseball. I grew up in the District of Columbia. We did not have a major league team. Sure, there were a lot of O's fans. Yes, respectable franchise, franchise I like, not a franchise I care about. Great ballpark, a ballpark I got to play in, thankfully, in a travel ball situation. That was awesome. All right. But like, my connection to baseball is not just my fanhood with a major league team, and never will be. You know, it comes to playing, it comes through coaching, it comes through all the teams that I've followed and cared about that other guys I knew played on and coached on and that I followed. Forget about the bigs, man. Baseball is a big thing, you know, and I just feel like their constant desire to refocus everybody's attention on simply their league and their histories, they don't realize is harmful to them. Never mind everybody else. And that's where I get so frustrated in terms of like the intellectual conversation. Forget about the one that's just the on the ground activity. It's like, yo, stop being so self-centered. You would be better if you weren't. And that goes from the culture of the game to everything else. It's just obvious to me.
Clint and I agree with you. I feel like you just summarized like this podcast.
Thank you. I mean, I don't mean to make short work of things, but I think about this stuff every day, you know?
Yeah. I mean, get the easy out. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. Yes. Exactly. You know? Like, God damn, college baseball is coming back in like 2 weeks and I'm fired up. Okay. All right. Understand that. That's where we are, man, in my life. So anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, more baseball is better. And I worry because it's like, I feel like it's not cut and dry. Cause I don't want to use, it's not black and white, because that's it's too on the nose, but it's to include the stats, I feel like, is important, but then I don't want the stats to get included in the league to get forgotten, you know, it's like the culture, you lose the culture when you just look at a statistic and somebody's like, oh, I don't even know what is this team? Oh, some minor league team. Okay, whatever. Like the fact that, and I was thinking about this on my walk that I took before we got on this call, how much it just absolutely bothered me in 2019, how much, whoever was airing the World Series, Fox, whoever owns Fox, how much they constantly just talked about the Senators, and like, not a single time did they mention the Homestead Grays. It was right there. And I was like, this is white supremacy right here. You know, like, here it is. And people were like, oh, do you know if it's like, look, man, I can't prove to you that that's what that they're actively thinking, but that's the point. It's the water, it's the air. And so like, that's my concern with the way MLB is moving forward with this, is that they're just going to still be like, Cooperstown, Cooperstown, Cooperstown. And like, you brought up The museums you brought up, Bob. I haven't met Bob. I feel like I have because of all the people who have spoken
meet
to
Bob.
Me. I know I gotta meet Bob.
Life-changing event the first time you meet Bob.
I would imagine, because literally walking into each of the Negro League museums, life-changing events, to just be in those places. When I went into the Kansas City one, to walk in and see that, like, feel that it's a beautiful experience. And I have not gone to Cooperstown. And honestly, going to both of those museums, I'm like, I'm good. I don't really need that other stuff. You know what I mean? Because it was just like such an experience. And to physically be in the cities where those teams were playing, as opposed to this place in the middle of New York that actually doesn't have any relevance to the game. But that's a whole nother podcast.
Zero. They do the ceremony at the local high school. It's the most Bush League thing in all of pro sports. Yeah. I mean, no knock on Cooperstown High School, but like, come on.
That's not their fault.
That's where it's actually done. Like, that's ridiculous on a lot of levels.
It is ridiculous.
Anyway.
So, I mean, so what are your thoughts about on that and the museum's role in moving forward, I guess?
So, my thing about the museums is that there's a very large part of the museums that are unfortunately now basically the whole story. And that to me means that every single thing that Bob Kendrick wants, Bob Kendrick should get. He's done the work.
Yes.
He's done. I don't know what's going on with my computer. Hold on.
That's cool.
The security system.
Did the MLB just make a new announcement?
I know, right? They just hacked
me. Did Cleveland say they're going to change the name again?
Exactly.
Change and say they're not?
See, that's a whole other discussion.
And we can talk about it.
Talk about that, but let me finish. Okay, so Bob, Bob, that museum is in Kansas City. My mother is from Kansas City. And that museum also happens to be across the street from the KC Royals Academy. And that is an interesting thing, that sort of this very, again, 10,000 foot level oddball juxtaposition where, you know, the academies that the MLB has built in order to try to grow the games in various cities across the country are not exactly very well known. You know, many have existed for a while. There's one in DC, there's one in Cincinnati, there's one in Texas, there's one in New Orleans, there's one out here in LA. And I believe, is there one in Houston? I think they're building one in Houston, but there's one in Kansas City and it's right there. And it's very interesting to think that, like, right across the street from where the Negro Leagues Museum is this facility where Major League Baseball is ostensibly, and I would say sensibly, investing in the Black community to play the game. Like, okay, that's good. And the reason I bring that up is because, like, yo, this is not some knock on the bigs more largely as if they're not doing anything. That would be crazy for me to say. I've attended and I know too many kids that have come up through actual big league funded programs that are playing baseball still for me to deny that. But that's why it's also so weird, is because this whole notion of everything either has to be theirs or nobody else's is what we keep coming back to. If, like, right across the street at the Negro Leagues Museum, those people were still considered less than, per their words, until this year, whilst you had an academy right there.
Right,
that's so wild to think about, you know? And so
People
like Bob and those who have curated and grown and highlighted everything, I mean, to me, the answer is give them whatever they want. You know, like, they're not going to ruin it. You know, they've obviously shown, never mind, like, the intent is definitely not needed to be questioned. You could question the ability. I ain't questioning Bob's ability. Have you been to the museum? You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about here? What else does, you know, what else has to happen for this to be full speed ahead regarding how we, and by we, I mean Black Americans, think this should be presented? You know, you can just turn over the responsibility to us with the same platform you give to yourself. That's okay at this point. That to me is some level of equalization or some level of respect and acknowledgement, not just saying, oh, your stats are going to count. Those aren't the same.
No, it's not the same thing at all. Because to me, it just continues the same behavior that they've always had, which is like, how can we benefit from this and or profit from it, by doing the least amount of work and, you know, spending no money because we want to profit off of the thing, you know?
There's plenty of people in MLB who are fighting the good fight. Like, I don't want this to be made out as if I believe that this is some sort of evil empire situation in regards to everybody being on the proverbial dark side of the force. That's not what I'm saying here. No. What I'm saying is that what it comes down to all the time, though, is that these large decisions, these showcase decisions, if you will, but often seem to not sit as well as they could if they were just playing more of us in the room. You know, and this is one of those situations specifically about the Negro Leagues that it's like, this is a hard one to miss on, man. You know what I mean? Like
take the extra time.
It's a bummer.
Know what I mean? It's like, did you, that's what I always wonder too. And I appreciate you saying that, Clinton, because this is not like the MLB is the evil empire. It's more so, for me at least, how I see them as a cog in the evil empire that is the white supremacy of this country, you know, and like how the role that it has played and has tried to escape and all of those things, and like how it's trying to sort of justify itself and get out from under it.
And the minors are a part of that, you know what I mean? And that's why I made that point. People, God, I don't want to get too far into this, but like, that's why I made that point about Branch Rickey. I'm like, yo, people celebrate Branch Rickey because he's the one who signed Jackie Robinson and integrated the league. But like, yo, first of all, Branch Rickey was trying to start a whole other league, like for many years of his life. People who don't know that. If you don't know anything about Branch Rickey, he was not like a major league only guy. Branch Rickey is a reason why minor league teams are affiliated with major league teams and thus put themselves in a position economically to exploit the players because of the scenarios regarding how teams were affiliated with one another. Branch Rickey was that dude. Same dude who integrated the league. So like, know that. You know, in terms of like the duplicity of how a lot of baseball presents its heroes. And I don't have to knock anybody to be aware of that as like an adult. And I just feel like that's what's something that people don't understand. And so this year as well, when they bang out all the minor leagues, you're like, bruh, you know what I mean? Like, who do you think suffers from this? It's certainly Black American players more than anybody. Yep. Obviously, just from the numbers alone in terms of sociologies of scouting and all this, never mind the roster spots. So like, I don't know, man, on the whole, I don't know how great a lot of this stuff this season has been for Black baseball, whether historically or actively, even if all of the memories and the honors and all that were present, you know what I mean? And I don't say that flippantly. I say that earnestly in terms of what I see, what I cover, and who I know in this game as well.
Because those memories were already there.
Yeah.
As you've pointed out, it's not, you know, it's like the Negro Leagues were like the museums are there. The people, you know, it's changing because
many folks are still alive.
They're still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I've spoken to women that played in the All-America. It's like, it's dwindling, but it's like, it's the people are still, and it's just, they're holding. It's like they're just trying to keep juggling everything. And I think it's interesting that you brought up the minor leagues, because to me, it's because I'm not as much of a scholar of the game as you are. But like my experience of it, it seems very similar to me, the decimation of the Negro Leagues and the economy that existed around it, because we're not just talking about players. We're talking about people who go to work for minimum wage at that stadium for an entire summer. For a lot of their life, you know, you're talking about a lot of people being affected, you know.
You're also talking about a lot of people who work for the teams as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, front office people who do all sorts of work. And, you know, if one who's listening has never known anybody who's worked in a minor league system, I mean, it is hardcore. You know, I got a couple friends who have done this, and, you know, one day you're selling tickets, one day you're the mascot, one day you're representing the team on TV, one day you're, you know, for lack of a better term, shoveling shit in the dugout. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a lot of different things that go into what make baseball in so many different places. And so there's two discussions about the minor league thing. There's the economy element, for sure. If you knock out a bunch of squads, you know, like, number one, you're killing a bunch of jobs, not just in terms of rosters, but in terms of the people. But number two, like, yo, your competitive balance changes, because that means that with less people playing, you have less opportunity to find talent. People seem to think that every single time you cut a talent pool, that means that the quality of the talent pool goes up. No, that depends on the ability of the people to scout those that are in the talent pool to begin with, which is the problem with why baseball doesn't have as many exciting players to begin with. So like, don't, you know, like, come on, I'm smarter than that, you know? And so I feel like that's a large part of what people don't understand. And so the only reason Branch Rickey even ties to that is because the same guy that everybody touts for being the one who integrated the game and changed America is also the same guy who is directly responsible for why the economic system of baseball now is being crushed under the weight of itself, you know, and that's real. So, you know, you take one, you take the other, but just that's something people need to understand about what is going on with the major leagues and how it filters down. Because I love minor league baseball because, again, it's a brand of baseball from a play standpoint and an experience standpoint that it's not kitschy. It's just closer to what I know, you know, like bro, you go play high school baseball. Dudes are not like big league quality. Dudes make mistakes. Dudes take chances. Guys botch things all the time and it makes games much crazier. This is why I like the so-called lower levels of baseballs, because it reminds me more of the competitive understanding that I have of the game. Nobody, you know, people in the bigs don't make mistakes. I mean, they do every once in a while, you know, but and so my point is that Major League Baseball doesn't sell anything. They don't really recognize what it's worth from a baseball level or a cultural level beyond just a talent draw level. And that sucks, man. You know what I mean? I that's a bummer for me as a fan overall of sports, never mind just baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I really don't like the sort of, I call it like the iPad of baseball, the McKinseying of baseball, of like how can we just like funnel the thing towards us as opposed to like going out and getting it, right. And like seeking it and experiencing it, you know? Because I like, you know, I've became a Dodger fan living out here, and I just like, to me, like Dave Roberts would stop looking at what was happening in front of him and be looking at these choices, you know, like, and I could be incorrect.
You're farther to the right on this than I am.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But like just the concept of in baseball, you know, looking at this as opposed to this is like, is kind of what we're talking about, you know, where it's like, we're just looking at numbers on a page, which comes back to the stats. It's like, are the numbers on the page from the Negro Leagues what makes fills my heart when I think about the Negro Leagues? Absolutely not.
Or it's win the, anybody games? No.
You know, no. No, not at all. It's thinking about what this game looked like and sounded like and smelled like and felt like
and played like. And that's where the minor league point becomes an interesting one as well, because you know, this is another point I made in the column, which was, listen, integrating the game was cool and all, but like, bro, you could have just taken 3 or 4 squads. You didn't even necessarily have to stick it in the bigs. You know what I mean? Like if you're really that committed to your system or whatever, if 3 Negro League teams become AAA teams and one Negro League team becomes a big league team, well, then you haven't decimated the entirety of the roots of the situation. You know what I mean? And so maybe you then do get some of that, for lack of a better term, flavor that the Negro Leagues provided to the game just through natural integration, if that makes sense, not through just sort of dropping sense. In, you know? And I it also kind of shocks me that people don't think about that as much as they do, because I'm like, Jackie Robinson was obviously great for the mindset of what baseball could be, but don't tell me it was the smartest business or talent decision, like at all. No. That doesn't even make sense, you know? And so I think about that a lot, because I think a lot of people don't realize the Negro Leagues wasn't just one league that started and ended. It was a conglomeration of 7 leagues that teams from all over the country were constantly trying to make sure that they could stay in and out of from a business standpoint and stay afloat and find places to play. That thing in the Negro Leagues Museum is probably the most incredible infographic I've seen in my life, where it's got all the years, all the cities, all the different leagues that all the crossover went through. It explains to you that like, yo, this was a scramble the whole time. And so legitimizing them would have been legitimizing the efforts, as in of what they are, not just the stats. And so I think about that all the time, man. If in 1950 Major League Baseball said, we're taking 3 teams, you know, like the game would be totally different and probably totally better now. So what 100%. Does that mean to me to know who Jackie Robinson was? You know what I mean? It would have meant you would have known who 150 other guys were. And it would have been 8% of players in the bigs now who were black.
Absolutely. I mean, it speaks to the methods that MLB prefers and like white America prefers of like, well, we're just going to choose a couple people, put them out front, and then like we'll do these. We'll cast the diversity, and then you can look at that, and then everything else we'll just ignore it. You know,
that's what we're working against. I mean, that's tough. Yeah. But I mean, you know, and that's not to say. And I think also people don't understand like. that's not to say that anybody in the 50s was necessarily, even if categorically, some, I don't know, card carrying Klan member. That's not what it's about. It's just about the fact that, like, you know, at the time, that's how unbelievably strict mindsets were. It was like, there was not even a notion that you could think, you know what I mean? Of like, oh, bring another team along. That would mean we have to share the money with them. Like, well, yeah, I mean, that's how it works, you know, but like that wasn't happening. So
no. I mean, were they card carrying KKK members? Not maybe some of them probably, but you know, Jackie Robinson couldn't stay in hotels. You know, it's not like it was like this snap of the fingers or whatever. And I'm not like, I'm telling you anything you didn't know. I just mean,
I get your point.
It is stunning to think about that though, to think like, oh, to integrate, actually integrate would have been to use the structure that was already there as opposed to a person or two people, you know, like it, instead of taking a single person and pointing at them and being like, this is it. You go like, oh, what is actually sustainable? You know, like you said, from like a 10,000 foot perspective, like what will sustain this process? And that to me, just the truth of the choices was not that they were going into this for any sort of sustainability. It was like, what can we do right now to do this? You know?
It was predatory.
And it's like, okay, that guy.
It was predatory.
Predatory. Yeah.
And that ultimately was not, you know, I just ultimately think that if you had to do it over, you just wouldn't do it that way. I think that's fair.
No. So I hope that, Major League Baseball can learn, because I think sometimes too, like, just to go back to the frustration and, you know, frustration and anger around the word elevate, like people have, it's like, we have two minds about words. It's like, words are really important, but it's also like, whoa, don't get so offended by the words, you know? But to me, it's like, this means something. This is supposedly this incredibly meaningful thing that you're doing. How did you not stop and look at the actual words that and the meaning of the words that you're using to express this, you know?
No, I'm with you. I mean, I'm the only reason I'm sort of not rolling my eyes. I'm not rolling my eyes at you. I'm rolling them sort of with you, because there was just a lot of emotional work I had to do the day that this release came out. I mean, I was upset. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and it was,
I don't want to talk about this,
you know,
but I was like, I can't participate in this.
Yeah.
Cause I'm going to be a dick to people.
It was really tough for a while because I was just like, are you people kidding me? Like, this is not what I wanted at all. And it's making me upset, you know? So, you know, I was glad I got to write about it. And I would like to thank the people around the baseball community, you included, you know what I mean? Who said like, yo man, like, yeah, man, I'm with you. You know, not because like my opinion is what matters, but because like, it was so obvious to me that I felt like, and in amongst those texts, my college dudes hit me up too. And I hit them back and I was like, yo, I got to tell you, I'm not banging with this. And they were like, what do you mean? And I just laid it out to them. They were like, dang, you're right. And I was like, I got to go. And they were like, no, we understand. And so like, there was a lot of me that sort of felt like, wow, like I'm stunned that this is not more obvious to a lot of people. So I just appreciate everybody who heard out what I had to say. You know what I mean? Because I'm not speaking for me. I'm speaking for a lot of people who do a lot of things around this game. I watch it. I used to play it. I cover it and I like it. But a lot of people are doing a lot more to make sure that it stays alive. And those are the people that I speak for, not just me, you know, some dude that people see on TV yelling and screaming.
Yeah, man. I appreciate your words on it, you know, because it's like, yeah, I don't know what else to say other than like, I just see it, you know, like it felt pretty obvious to me, you know, I'm just like, the more, you know, I love baseball. I love the game. I don't love the product that's on the shelf. You know what I mean? Like, I love baseball. I love lowercase baseball. You know what I mean? Like, so to me, it's like, this just really, it just really stunk. And I'm just like, I'm not going to yell at the people that are like praising it. I'm just not going to praise it. And like the people who are upset, I'm going to be like, I get it. You know,
that's exactly like, where I was too. Like, I'm not yelling at anybody. And people are like, oh, you're so angry and frustrated. I was like, no, I'm upset. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's really what it comes down to. And every time somebody, you know, a black man uses too many words in a row, they're like, oh, you're angry. I'm like, I mean, I could be angry, but that's not what I feel right now. You know, what I feel is upset. It's hurtful, you know, and that's just what it was.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's incredibly, like, your feelings are valid, man. As a human, human to human, like, your feelings are valid and welcomed and appreciated, you know?
Thank you. I'm doing my best. What else we got?
You are. So let's, I mean, I don't want to keep you too long, but I am curious, cause I, at the up top of the thing, and, I feel as though I've logged many hours discussing this as a human being on this podcast.
I know what you're going to say. I see this flag in your background.
My text messages, I did not get more text messages from human beings than I did on Sunday night when the Cleveland baseball team, which is what I've been calling them for a solid 6 years now, somewhere around
there.
Okay,
so you are a charter member.
I am a charter member. I had to learn, I had to understand too. I'm not going to act like I've known since I was four, but right. Like I came back into baseball as a fan and I was introduced to the D Chief movement. I was like, cool. Then I was like, oh, I'm not going to call them that anymore. You know, like all this whole experience of the thing. And so I have been not in my relationship to the team and my fandom of the team. Like I grew up in Akron. That was my team, you know, all these things. And so people were texting me like crazy on Sunday. I'm curious, as a fellow baseball fan, player, all these things, having different levels of love for this thing. What do you think? And how do you feel?
Knowing plenty of people. I went to college in Ohio. I went to Miami, Ohio. I know plenty of people from Cleveland.
Oxford, baby.
I know plenty of people from Cleveland. I know plenty of people that play baseball in Cleveland. I know plenty of people that coach baseball in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of high school baseball games in Cleveland, like random. So to me, it was like, this was going to be how do I explain this? So for the Washington football team, I'm from DC. That was always going to be what I'll just call an amputation. Like there was no way that anybody was going to be in the real world, like all about it on any mass level. For a team like, let's say the Braves, Atlanta, I think that there is something that you could sort of do what we'll call a non-invasive surgery to remove that name and psyche from the fan base. For the Chiefs, we're probably closer to, like, I don't know, a skin graft, and I'm kind of making this up as I go along. But for the Tribe, for Cleveland, that was going to be like full-blown brain surgery in order to get people to think that this made sense. Do you see what I'm saying here? Like,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
The hardest one on a lot of levels, and especially since when Chief Wahoo was removed, people thought, okay,
good enough.
We gave it to you. You know what I'm saying? And when I covered the All-Star game there last year, I actually thought it was going to be a lot worse in terms of red face, in terms of people making scenes about, like, we're going to keep our this and we're going to keep our that, you know, and they kind of stepped in it when they decided they wanted to donate some proceeds of the portions from old Chief Wahoo stuff to Native American tribes. That was a whole other matter. But my point is that the Cleveland people I know, at least within polite society, are like really trying hard to just let this kind of go like whatever way, but nobody really wants to admit that they want to change the name and they want to do it to something else. Like there's just a lot of jokes. There's just a lot of fake ideas. Like this is going to be a lot harder in people's hearts than people, I think, around the country believe, just because it hasn't been like a battle on the front lines.
In terms of publicly,
not that people haven't been working, but you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. You're not like, that's also the thing, Clinton. It's like, anytime, you know, cause people like tweeted me about this stuff and it's like, I wish I could explain my whole life story to you every time somebody talks to me about this thing, but I can't, I can't give you the whole thing every time, but like, I feel like, you know, I'm honestly really glad to hear that because my perspective on it from growing up there, growing up with that as the team that's like ubiquitous, it's like that logo. And I've said this many times, when I see it, it's like a stop sign to me. It's just like ubiquitous, like it's just everywhere. And that's not to say that I don't also see the offensiveness of it and the racist caricature of it. Right. It's just that it's embedded in this way that is, like you said, very hard to remove. But I'm glad to hear that like your connections to those places are people who are ready, but just don't know how to do it yet or whatever.
I think there's a lot of that. I think there's a don't know how to do it yet. You know, that's a big point.
I think it is really hard. Like you know, we're talking about baseball leagues and teams that have existed for a century, you know? Plus. So we're actually talking about a lot of time. Yeah. That's a minimum amount. And so like, it is actually a lot. And people who don't exist within these worlds, it's very easy for them to be like, oh, sports ball, who cares about it? Yeah. And also I can sometimes be flippantly like, yeah, we need to change it, but I don't come at that very easily, you know, and I understand that it is hard. This is big work. It's not something simple, but I do find a lot of frustration with the team leaking the thing and then saying we're going to do it, but not until 2022. It's like, what is the game here? You know, like do it or don't. Like you said, like also, swing or don't.
Bro, the spot, listen, this would like swing or don't, exactly. But also, like, this is not even like a super swing. Yo, I'm sorry. The Spiders is right there. That elevates you top three best sports nicknames in pro sports in America instantly. It just does. And like, don't try to tell me about what happened 115 years ago with some hocus pocus story about how the team sucked. It's 2020. Yeah. Cleveland Spiders is an awesome name. Why would
Wait. Are you saying that people don't want to change it to the Spiders because the Spiders sucked? Because let me tell you a story about a team that plays in Cleveland right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me tell you about a team that I personally have watched lose the World Series four times.
What? Three times. Wait, because in the 1800s, maybe some team had some curse. Like, are you insane? The Cleveland Spiders would be a banger of a name, and they should have done that yesterday. Like, that's also an element to it that's so shocking to me. They've got one right there. Should be many. Turning this over and rolling those shirts out and those jerseys out ASAP. And so that's how I know that it's that difficult, because it's not like every other team. You know, all these other squads don't have ready to go bangers with history that makes sense. Cleveland does, and they're not doing it.
I think they don't want to lose the money that they think they're going to make. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's difficult in the psyche of the fan base. I don't think it's difficult in the
If they change to the Cleveland Spiders, everybody in America is going to buy that crap.
They just don't want to believe that. They're also not spending any money on Francisco Lindor. So, like, these two things are incredibly related.
Most likable player in all of the AL. Like, it's unbelievable.
You have a once-in-a-generation player who literally wants to play for Cleveland. Like, how do you put even not consider giving that person money?
Okay,
like,
but this is a different discussion. But
I know it is, but I'm just saying it's related, though.
It's related. I just don't understand how you don't ostensibly seek out to go to a team from the same city that was a baseball team with an amazing nickname. What are we waiting for? I don't get it.
I'll tell you, this is my theory on why they don't want to actually change it, why they're going to drag their feet kicking and screaming as the front office when they could very easily do it and make a ton of money doing it for doing the right thing. They have 4 years, if not decades, asked in the brochure to the season ticket owners, is Chief Wahoo and the team name an integral part of your experience as a baseball fan? They asked that question to the season ticket holders, and it influences their own. It is like this thing, you know, what is the psychological word for it? But anyway, they're just
feedback loop is what
But they're creating their own proof of this thing that they need to keep, you know? Yeah. And also I know from people that I'm friends with, connected to, who are connected to the front office, that like Paul Dolan
sources. That's how you
did my sources.
Your sources. Just once over that with your sources.
They go to people that they know will give them the answers they want to hear. You know, like they go find the answers from the people that they can go, but these people said they like it though. And that's been the thing for years, you know. Is what's actually difficult about it.
Yeah. And that's how a lot of people operate when they're coming from a standpoint of privilege and power, because they don't have to.
100%.
They don't want to. And that's not like some huge insult. That's just a fact of the matter in terms of how
it's just reality.
But Cleveland Spiders, bro, right there.
Some people have suggested Guardians. That one seems fun, although the Space Force is now calling itself that. I personally like Cleveland Blues because like it plays into the whole rock and roll thing and that they lose a lot.
But like, sorry, the Spiders are right there.
Sure.
Like, they're right there. They're a baseball team. What are we doing? This is like saying, wasting I didn't want to get too far into this, you know, analogy, but like, you know, if you're married to somebody who's got a twin and that twin dies, you know what I'm saying? Like,
go for the twin.
What are we doing? At least get a standing. You know, anyway, that was
it's too bad we can't call them the Cleveland Twins, you know.
That would be funny. That would actually be hilarious. Anyway, that was a stupid analogy, but you know, my point.
I liked it. It's right there. It's not hard. A lot of people in Northeastern Ohio love to wear like Oakleys and stuff, and I feel like that fits right in with the whole spider. There's a lot of gothy people in Northeastern Ohio. It fits. Yes,
you can open up a whole new fan base. That'd be fantastic.
Just haunted houses all over the place. Well, Clinton, I thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show and for talking about this. And just generally being you. I appreciate you very much.
Yeah, appreciate your time and, you know, keep up the great work. And, you know, baseball will stay alive as long as we stay alive.
Absolutely, my friend. And where can people find you? Where do you want people to find you?
I know there's many places they can find you. You know the routine. All right. All the available platforms that matter. First name, last name. I don't say this as much as I used to, but I'll say it one last time in 2020. If you come incorrect in my mentions, I will embarrass you in front of your friends and your family, and I will not apologize.
That's right.
That's it.
Oh, Clinton Yates, everybody. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Anytime.
So grateful to have Clinton stop by the show. Honestly, a dream. What a great, I mean, I basically was like, oh, I don't even need to talk here. It was really great to talk to Clinton and hear him. So grateful for him making time in his day to stop by our show. So give him a follow at Clinton Yates on Twitter. You can read him on The Undefeated, his most recent article about the Negro Leagues and the MLB will be in the footnotes for this episode. If you can, and if you're looking for something this holiday season, it's probably too late to get somebody something for Christmas, but something I've done this year is to just give myself the time and space to get things for people whenever works, because like the postal service, like all these things are, everybody's strained, everybody's stressed. It is what it is. But if you have the means to, and you can, and you would like to, please consider making a donation to the Negro Leagues Museum. There's actually two of them, one in Kansas City and one in Birmingham, Alabama. I've been to both. They're both wonderful. they each have gift shops. There's all kinds of bobbleheads online. You can get Buck O'Neill bobbleheads. You can get Satchel Paige bobbleheads. There's an Effa Manley bobblehead. There's a Tony Stone, Connie Morgan, and Mamie Peanut Johnson. You can get all three for $100, I think, which is not a good deal, you know? And so just consider that. That's a great use of your money. Give them a little cash. Let your friends know about them. Give them a follow on social media and everything. Tell your friends about the Negro Leagues. Also, Ebbets Field Flannels still selling their gift packs, I believe, for hats and jerseys and shirts for the Negro Leagues. So always good to let everybody know about the things they should know. And thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope everybody has a happy holidays and a wonderful new year, but it is just another day. So let's keep going. I believe in you, and we'll just keep on doing it. And I'll see you soon, my friends. As always, if you liked it, you liked it.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.